Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Sharashate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschatta Deshutarine Srila Prabhupada Ki Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Jagannath Rath Jatra Mahasav Ki Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Gaur Premanande. So today is Jagannath's Rath Jatra festival, chariot festival. As you all know, Jagannath appeared, or rather Jagannath has a very close relationship with Avanti Ujjain. Jagannath appeared for the king Indradumna of Avanti. King Indradumna was ruling in Satyuga, and he became very eager to see Lord Jagannath, I mean the Lord Krishna. But in Satyuga the Lord was not manifest in his Archa Vigraha. Like now, we can have darshan of the Lord, come to the temple and we can get the darshan. But Satyuga there was no deity of the Lord. The way to see the Lord in Satyuga was by performing tapasya or meditation. And by performing meditation, meditating at the core of the heart, one could see the Lord. But that's a very long and arduous process. It takes a long time. And one had to go away to a solitary place to meditate. One cannot live in a city and meditate. One has to be in a solitary place, away from everything. And that was not possible for the king, because he had his responsibility to rule the kingdom. Then all of a sudden one day, one pilgrim came to the court and he announced that the Lord is present on Niladri mountain on the bank of saltwater ocean. Just giving that information, he disappeared. Before anybody could ask him any question, he just disappeared. So now the king became very excited. After all, the Lord is present and he could have his darshan. But he had to find out where is that Niladri mountain on the bank of the saltwater ocean. So he sent different brahmanas to find out where the Lord was present. He got the information, he is there. Now he'll have to find out where he was. And all the other brahmanas came back after some time without any success. The one person didn't come back was the head pujari, the head priest, Vidyapati. And in the meantime, Vidyapati, traveling in search of Niladri mountain, he came across a Savara village. Exhausted, hungry, thirsty, and tired, Generally, the Brahmanas wouldn't go to a Savara village. Savaras are Antajas. Antaja means even below the Sudras. Antaja, outcast. They are not included within the caste. The caste system included only Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Sudras. There's the civilized society. But those who had other occupation, they actually lived away. Those other occupations, the occupations that even a Sudra will not accept, what to speak of Vaishya, Kshatriya and Brahmana. Like Chandal, whose occupation is to burn dead bodies. Chandal. They are considered to be the lowest. Then also the cobblers, those who make shoes. Sweepers. And one such caste is Savara. Their business is to hunt. Hunt animals. Therefore they live near the forest. So the society was very well structured. Like, who was not civilized enough was not allowed to live in the city or in the civilized area. And but that doesn't mean, that's another very important consideration here. When it comes to Krishna bhakti, everybody is allowed. Krishna bhakti is such a thing that anybody can have the opportunity to develop relationship with Krishna. Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is the Supreme Father. And all living entities are His children. Now does Father make any discrimination? Oh, you are a first class boy and you are a second class boy. Or you are a sixth class or tenth class. No. In His eyes, everyone is qualified. Only thing is that one had to surrender. So Vedic scripture is pointing that out time and time again. And Vedas are also saying, Chandalopi Dija Srishta. I just mentioned that Chandala is the lowest of all. But when a Chandal becomes a devotee, he becomes superior than a Brahmana. Chandala Api Dija Srishta, meaning Dija means a Brahmana, Shrestha means superior. A Chandal becomes superior to Brahmanas, Hari Bhakti Parayana, when he accepts devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita there is saying, there is a statement. In Bengali, the name of the Chandal is Dom. Dom. So he's saying that Shukar Charaya Dom, Krishna Krishna Bali. A Chandala, they keep pigs. So he is taking care of the pigs. And at the same time chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So there are many other classes, Mlechhas, Javanas, but we are seeing in Krishna consciousness everybody has the right to come to Krishna consciousness. Anyway, so Vidyapati, just extremely tired and hungry, came to found a house, a village, in a village and a house in a village. So he just walked into that village. That's another thing. In acute need, there is no consideration for caste and creed. When everything is honky-dory, you can say, well, I won't drink water from this person. But when you're dying of thirst, then you don't care who that person is. Okay, please give me some water. Say in the middle of a desert, a traveler is dying of thirst because the desert is extremely hot and there is no water. Yesterday I got to know that the temperature in the desert during midday is 62 degrees in Kuwait, right? 62 degrees centigrade. Can you imagine? Like, it's practically boiling. And at that time, there's no water. So what happens? You're completely dying of thirst. And at that time, if somebody comes with a glass of water, then will you say, are you a Brahmana? If you're not a Brahmana, I'm not going to take the water from you. No. So, anyway, that was the condition of Vidyapati. He entered into a house in a village. And one girl came out, and seeing him so tired and exhausted, told her, please take rest, and offered him some water and food, and told that her father is the leader of the Sabaras. Every society has a leader or a king. And the father is out, but wait till he comes back. So when this person, Vishabashu, came back to the house and saw a Brahmana became a guest in his house, so he became very excited. He said, please, I can see that you're very tired, so please take rest for a few days. So he accepted that invitation. And then while staying there, Vishwavasu liked him so much, he asked him, please marry my daughter. Now this is another thing. A person from a higher class can marry a girl from a lower class. But a girl from a lower class, a man from a lower class cannot marry a girl from a higher class. Unless some exceptional situation. Like King Jajati, a Kshatriya, married Devjani, Sukracharya's daughter. That was an unusual situation because Devjani insisted getting married to him because he rescued him. He rescued her. And while rescuing, he lifted her by her hand. Devjani fell into a ditch and King Jajati came and found that was somebody. He heard some sound when he was hunting. Please save me, save me. And he found this beautiful girl, naked, because she got into a conflict with Shukra, with Vrishaparva, the king of Daitya's daughter, Sharmishta. And the thing was, in a hurry, while they were dressing up, they became embarrassing, Narayuni coming. So they just quickly came up. They were taking bath. And by mistake, Devjani put on Sharmishta's clothes. And Sharmishta became very upset. You dare to wear my clothes? And in this way they get into a struggle, and she snatched the clothes from her and threw her in that well, dry well. So at that time, fortunately, King Jajati was hunting, so he heard the voice and rescued her from that well. So Devjani then went to her father and reported. Shukracharya became very upset. He said, well, you insulted your king, you insulted my daughter, I'm leaving. So Vrishabharma knew that if he loses the favor of his guru, then it will be very, very dangerous situation. So he begged him, please, please tell me, what can I do for you? So Shukracharya said, okay, my daughter is upset, let's hear what she wants. And Devjani said that I want her to become my maidservant. So Vrishabharma accepted that. Sharmishta became Devjani's princess, became Devjani's maidservant. And Devjani had another request to her father. She said that I want to marry the king because he rescued me by taking my hand. According to the Vedic culture, if a man takes a woman by hand, that is like synonymous to getting married. Jai Shri Shri Nishinga Bhagavan Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Gornidai Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. So that is how Devjani got married to. Now this is an unusual situation. Devjani was a daughter of a brahmana, and Jajati was a kshatriya. So, but it was a situation when she claimed that because he held me by my hand and offered his garment to cover myself, and he saved me in such a situation, from such a situation, I have accepted him as my husband. So anyway, just an example of unusual situation can break the standard of Vedic injunctions. So Vidyapati got married to Lalita. So he is staying in that house. But he used to notice that at night Vishwashu goes out, and in the early morning he comes back. And when he comes back, there's beautiful fragrance from his body. So he asked Lalita, where does your father go at night? And when he comes back, we get some beautiful fragrance coming from his body. So Lalita said, actually my father goes to worship Nilamadhav. Can you imagine Vidyapati's situation? He was dancing in ecstasy, but he did not display it. He controlled his excitement. And so he asked, oh, where is Nilamadhav? Nilamadhav, you mean the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And Lalita said, yes, my father goes to worship him. Will you please tell your father to take me to them to see the Lord? She said that my father is very secretive about Nilamadhav. Because those days, if it became known that a Savara is worshipping the Lord, there would be big trouble for him. Because the worshipping the Lord or even chanting the Vedic hymns were reserved for Brahmanas. So that's why Vishabhashu was so secretive. So then he kept on insisting, please tell your father to take me there. So being persuaded like that, Lalita went to her father. Father, your son-in-law wants to see the deity of Nilamana. And he became very upset. You told him that I am worshipping Nilamana. She said, well, he's my husband. How can I have any secret with him? And besides that, you know, since he's asking, what's the harm? Like, just show him. He wants to just see the Lord. So finally, Vishabhashu agreed with the condition that he will take Vidyapati to see Nilamata, but he'll have to go blindfold so that he can't find out the way to Nilamata. And Vidyapati agreed and told Lalita to give him a handful of mustard seed. So Lalita asked, why do you need mustard seed for? Well, I'll need it to worship the Lord. She gave him mustard seed and he tied it up at the end of his cloth, and blindfold he was going. And what he was doing, he was dropping those mustard seeds on the way. That was his way of worshipping Nilamata. Why he did that, we'll come across afterwards. So, and then when he went to the place where the deity of Nilamata was, so Vishabhashu opened his eyes and Vidyapati got the darshan of beautiful Sachidananda Vigraha of Nilamata, bluish Madhava, the husband of Lakshmi. And so when Vishabhashu went, said, I'll just go and collect some fruits and flowers from the forest, you wait here. When Vidyapati was just waiting, he saw there was a pond and a crow that was sitting on a tree at the edge of that pond all of a sudden died and fell onto the pond. And as he fell and got the touch of the water, immediately that crow assumed the four-armed Vaikuntha form and went back to Vaikuntha. So that is the spiritual potency of that pond and that place. Just even a crow leaving its body and getting in touch with the water of the pond could become liberated and assume the four-armed Vaikuntha form. So Vidyapati thought that, well, let me also give up my body. So that will be the ultimate perfection of my existence. But then he heard a voice that, Vidyapati, King Indradumna is waiting for you. There's a lot of things that you're meant to do. So this is not the time for you to achieve liberation. So he desisted from committing suicide. In the meantime, Vishabhashu came back and he was preparing to serve Nilamata, worship Nilamata. And he heard Nila Mata speaking. Vishwavishu, for a long, long time I have accepted your service. But now the time has come that I will take the service of King Indradumna. And as soon as Vishwavishu heard that, he had such deep love for the Lord that now that he would be deprived of the Lord's service, he became like mad. He just jumped up and grabbed Vidyapati. "You, the traitor, you must have persuaded the Lord to give up my service and take the service of your king. I will kill you. I'll never let the Lord go away from me. No one can take my service away from the Lord." And then he said that, "I would have killed you myself, but since you are my son-in-law, I won't do that. But I'll tie you up in a tree here and let these wild animals come and eat you up. They will do the job of killing you." Now saying that, he tied Vidyapati up and he went back after worshipping. So when he went back, Lalita asked, "Father, what happened to your son-in-law? You went with him. How come you didn't bring him back?" So Vishwavishu narrated what happened. And so then Lalita, naturally her husband, so she became very, very upset. She ran out of the house and started to call out to him. And in this way she was searching everywhere, calling out. And then finally she got some feeble response, "I'm here, Lalita." And she found that he was tied up to a tree. And so she released him of his bond. And then Vidyapati left and went to Avanti. Rather, came to Avanti. Long way from Jagannath Puri to Avanti. And reported to the king, "I found Nila Madhav." So king didn't want to wait. He said, "Let's go immediately." So he got all the arrangements made and they started for Niladri Mountain. By the time, now you remember the mustard seeds? So the mustard seeds grew into plants. And following those mustard seeds, that turned into plants, mustard plants, he came to the place where Nila Madhav was. But then he found that altar is empty. So King Indradumna thought that this Vishwavishu, the king of the Savaras, must have been hiding Nila Madhav somewhere. So he arrested Vishwavishu and interrogated, tortured Vishwavishu in the same word. Because he also was feeling intense pain out of the separation from the Lord. He was such a devotee. That's the nature of a devotee. Sunnaitam jagat sarvam govinda virahi. My dear Govinda, due to your separation, the whole world appears to be empty. Then Indradumna, when he couldn't get the response from Vishwavishu, he interrogated other villagers and sabaras and couldn't get any response. And finally, he sieged the city so that they would surrender to him. So when he sieged the city and people were suffering in that village. Then he heard a voice telling him, Indradumna, it is not that Vishvavasu is hiding me somewhere. Actually, I myself disappeared. And you will not be able to see me in this form as Nilamadhav anymore. But I have come floating in the ocean as a transcendental log. So you take that log and carve my deity and worship me. So immediately King Indradumna ran onto the ocean and he found, yes, there was a log that came floating. So he tried to lift that log, but couldn't. Then he got all his soldiers to try to lift. Got all the soldiers, elephants, horses. Still they couldn't lift. Again he was completely disappointed. Then he, one night he got a dream, instruction in a dream. The Lord has told him that if Vidyapati holds one end of the log and Vishvavasu holds the other end, then they will be able to lift the log out of the water. So he immediately got Vishvavasu and Vidyapati, and they could very easily lift the log, just two of them. The log that could, that the entire army with elephants and horses could lift, just two of them very easily carried. So that shows the transcendental will of the Lord. And then King Indradumna arranged all the best wood carvers to carve the deity. But none of them could even make a scratch onto that wood. As soon as they would touch the wood with their instruments, chisel and hammer, just broke into pieces. Another disappointment, what to do now? Then one day a very old person came and he said, my name is Ananta Maharana. I am a sculptor, wood carver. I have come here, I heard that you are looking for someone to carve the form of the deity from a wood. So he said, yes, but you are so old. So many other best of the carvers failed. And what can you do? Don't try. He said, no, I will do it. Not only I will do it, but I will do it under one condition. The condition is that I will be carving behind a closed door. And no one should come inside until the form is complete. Okay, you're doing fine. If you can carve under any condition, I'm going to accept. So, Ananta Maharana went inside the room that was where the log was kept. And he closed the door, and soon enough King could hear the sound of carving going on, so he became very excited. But then after a few days, after about 2 weeks, all of a sudden the sound stopped. The King was in acute anxiety. What happened? Man was so old already, did he have a heart attack? So forgetting the promise, he just opened the door and he found three incomplete forms are standing there. And Ananta Maharana is nowhere to be seen. Again, the king became so disheartened that the deities were about to be manifest, and I broke my promise. And because of that, the Lord couldn't manifest himself. So, I'll give up this body. I'll give up this body in priopovation. Priopovation means sitting down without drinking and eating, sleeping, to give up the body. So then the king sat on to give up his body. Then after a few days, I think about 3 days, he had a dream. The Lord told him, Indradumna, don't think that these forms are incomplete form of mine. These are my Sachidananda Vigraha. In this form I am present eternally in the spiritual sky, Vaikuntha. So you install me and worship me. So the king became very excited, and that is how Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra manifested. Apparently it seems to be an incomplete form, but this form is the Lord's transcendental form, eternal Sachidananda Vigraha. He is eternally present in this form, in Niladrika, in Jagannath Puri. In Vaikuntha also, Dwarka, there is this Kurukshetra region where the Lord is present in his Jagannath form. That now takes us to one anecdote that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur narrated on the occasion of Ratha Jatra in All India Radio. All India Radio, Calcutta. In those days there was no TV channel and things, videos. The main thing was radio. I remember we used to get stuck to the radios. And Friday evening there used to be drama in the radio. And we'd just wait for that, to listen to that drama. On Saturday and Sunday afternoon, I think from 1:30 to 2 or something like that, there used to be a thing called Anurodher Ashur. The session of request. So people could request different songs and they would play those songs. Radio is a big thing those days. Cricket match. There used to be a running commentary on radio. So radio was a big thing those days. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave an incident. Why? How come this form of the Lord is eternal? Where this form is present in the spiritual world? He said that in this form he is present in the spiritual world. And he narrated this anecdote. The queens of Dwarka used to see that Krishna is extremely attached to Vrindavan. And they used to always wonder that we are trying to serve the Lord to the best of our ability, we are giving him all the attention, providing him with everything that is needed, and Dwarka is the supreme situation of Vaikuntha. So how come the Lord is not satisfied here? During the day he seems to be absent-minded all the time, as if his mind is somewhere else. And at night, in sleep, he goes somewhere else. And he calls out, Radhe, Lalite, Vishakhe, Shyamali, Dhavali, Vasudham, Shridham, Sudham, Badutapa. Oh mother, why are you so angry with me? So Krishna, in his sleep you speak like that. So they could understand that in his sleep also he goes somewhere else. And well, what is that place? Vrindavan. And they became curious to know about Vrindavan. What is there in Vrindavan? So the only person could possibly tell them about Vrindavan was Mother Rohini. And she was the one who was there during Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. Krishna Balaram's Vrindavan pastimes. So they approached, please tell us what is there in Vrindavan. So Mother Rohini said, okay, I will tell you. When Krishna and Balaram won't be around, because if they happen to hear the Vrindavan pastimes, they will be very, very heartbroken. Already he is feeling such intense separation. So they agreed. And one day Krishna and Balaram were away. So the queens approached Mother Rohini. Now please tell us. So Rohini just sat with them. And Subhadra was kept at the entrance, at the gate of the room, doorway. If anyone comes, inform us. Because no one else should hear about this. Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes is kept as such a secret. You know how Sukadeva Goswami heard Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. Sukha was a parrot. And Parvati wanted to hear about Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, Braja Leela, to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva said, okay. But the place has to be completely free from all living entities. No one else should hear that. But Sukha just appeared there. That was also another thing. Lord Shiva disregarded one broken egg. He thought, oh, broken egg, there is nothing to worry about. But from that broken egg came that parrot, Sukha. And he was sitting up on a tree. Under the tree, Lord Shiva was telling Parvati. And Parvati was listening and she was responding, but all of a sudden Parvati fell asleep. Then Sukha thought that if Lord Shiva finds out that Parvati fell asleep, then he won't narrate. So on behalf of Parvati, he started responding, And then all of a sudden Parvati woke up and said, my lord, then what happened? Then what happened? What? I fell asleep. And who was telling that? Who means, yeah. And then he looked around, saw that parrot. He became so angry that he wanted to kill that parrot. You trespasser. And then he was chasing the parrot, and the parrot was running for his life. And at that time Vasudeva was telling his wife about Vedas, and she was feeling tired and she yawned, opened her mouth, and the parrot went straight to her mouth, inside her mouth. So that's how Sukadev, a parrot from parrot, actually became Sukadev, hearing about Krishna's pastimes. So anyway, this past, so Rohini was very careful that nobody else comes there. So Subhadra was kept as the gatekeeper, doorkeeper. Now in the meantime, Krishna and Balaram appeared. Subhadra wanted to warn, stop it, stop it. But her voice was choked out of ecstasy. By hearing the pastimes of the Lord in Vrindavan, she became so excited that she couldn't speak. Kanthavarodhanubidho or Nayanam Gadgada Badanam Gadgada Ruthaya Gira. So she couldn't inform, but she stopped Krishna and Balaram from entering by stretching her arms. And Krishna and Balaram kept on hearing, standing there. And Krishna assumed this beautiful form where his face lit up with a beautiful smile. His eyes became like two blooming lotuses. And his hands stretched forward. As he was hearing about the residents of Vrindavan, he wanted to embrace them. And that is Lord Jagannath. Balaram also got induced by the same mood, assumed the same form. So did Subhadra. But Subhadra was so feeling so guilty that he stopped Krishna Balaram by spreading her arms, that she withdrew her arms within her. Her arms got withdrawn inside the body. That is how Krishna and Balaram's hands are stretched forward, desiring to embrace their devotees, and Subhadra's hands disappeared. So this is how the Lord is eternally present in Vrindavan, in Dwarka, in this world. Then we go to Chaitanya Charitamrita. For 100 years, Krishna was away from Vrindavan. Krishna gave the assurance, I will come back quickly, don't worry. The gopis were trying to stop him from leaving Vrindavan. They were just desperate to stop. Some gopis were holding the rein of the chariot horses. Some gopis were pulling the chariot, we won't let you go. Some gopis laid down on the in front of the wheels of the chariot over my dead body. And some gopis were beating up Akrura. You want to take Krishna and we'll never let you do that. So the gopis were in such a desperate situation. So Krishna assured them, don't worry, I'm just going there with a mission. The king has invited me, so I have to go. So don't worry, I'll come back. So Krishna, that way, has many wonderful qualities. One of these qualities is, he breaks his vows. His words sometimes don't have any value. That's why when Krishna wants to make some promise and reassure fully, he makes the commitment through his devotee. Because his words may fail, but his devotee's words will never fail. Therefore he says, Konteya pratijanihi name bhakta pradashati. Arjun, you declare. I won't say it. If I say it, people may think that I'm just another bluff. So you say it, that my devotees will never vanquish. So for 100 years, Krishna didn't go back. And on the occasion of solar eclipse, Surya Grahan, It's a custom that seekers of piety, people go to Samanta Pancha, Kurukshetra, to take bath. So many pilgrims came, many people. Like India is a very holy place and people are naturally pious. So on any occasion there are thousands of people. Actually, this is actually India. In spite of everything, India is so, people are so pious and they're so keen to participate in spiritual activities. The other day I was in Benares, so I went for darshan of Kashi Vishwanath, Lord Shiva. I thought I went there early, 5:30. And the place was so packed with people that I decided to go back. Like I told the driver to turn around. Because 5:30, there's so many people to have darshan of Lord Shiva. I think the same thing happens. Of course, Ujjain is a much smaller place. But still, I'm sure there are so many people going to Mahakal temple every day. Therefore, the next day I went at 4 o'clock, 4:30. Still there were so many people. Not like that. I could get the darshan straight away. There was a big queue. I didn't stand in the queue. I went straight where into the thing, jumping the queue. And the pujaris were very nice. Seeing me in saffron, just immediately allowed me to go to the Lord Shiva's lingam. So this is India. And after that we went to take bath, Ganga, and then I went to Bindu Madhav temple. Anyway, it was a nice experience. So I mean, that also gave me a glimpse of how holy a land India is. People are so pious here. Their piety is not, or their involvement in spiritual activity is not very committed, or not, but still they have faith. So so many people went to Kurukshetra on the occasion of solar eclipse to take bath, and the gopis also went, the residents of Vrindavan also went to take bath. And Krishna also went. So they took bath and the next day they are about to leave. And then the residents of Vrindavan got the news that Krishna and Balaram were there. So they immediately ran to meet Krishna and Balaram. By the time, Krishna was already on his chariot. He was also about to leave. So they arrived there. And everyone was naturally very excited, very happy. But Radharani was not. Radharani's mood was, this is not Nandalala. Nandalala, my Krishna, he wears a peacock feather on his head. But this person is wearing a crown. My Krishna wears a yellow garment. And this person is wearing royal robes, a royal dress. My Krishna wears flower garland made of forest flowers. And this personality is wearing necklaces made of most precious gems and jewels. My Krishna carries a flute and this one is carrying a bow and arrow and sword. When I meet him, this is a solitary place on the bank of Jamuna. But this place is full of so many people, so much noise, so many horses, so many elephants. The elephants are trumpeting, so much noise, the horses are whining, and people are clamoring, people are... so much noise. This is not where I wanted to see him, and nor this is the way I wanted to see my Krishna. So the residents of Vrindavan, Radharani's devotees, could understand Radharani's mood. So what did they do? They got hold of Krishna's chariot. The horses were already harnessed. So they, along with the horses, they started to pull Krishna's chariot. Balaram was there. He's also their friend. Balaram's chariot also was being dragged. And the sister cannot be left alone. So take her also. To where? To Vrindavan. So that is Ratha Yatra festival. From Kurukshetra, Krishna, Balaram and Subhadra are being dragged towards, drawn towards Vrindavan, where he will meet with Srimati Radharani. So Gundicha temple is actually Vrindavan. So that is the Ratha Yatra festival. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharaj.